It's time for Mind Your Business on 710 WOR and the iHeartRadio Network to present the weekly business radio show produced by the award-winning marketing firm Bottom Line Marketing Group, BLMG, sharing business and marketing strategies to make you and your business successful. Now, here's your host, the president and founder of Bottom Line Marketing Group, Yitzhak Saftless.
What a treat to be broadcasting live from the Isaac Bardo Scaling to Freedom event. Yes, this, what you're listening to now on 710 WOR was recorded the previous week in Fort Lee, New Jersey. That's who we are, right? Fort Lee, New Jersey. And it's the Scaling to Freedom event. Scale your business while freeing up your time. Special thank you to Isaac Bardos for inviting me here. And I'm joined once again on the set by a very dear friend, a client, Mark Bodner, the CEO of L&R Distributors. But first, our general intro. Thank you for joining me here on another edition of Mind Your Business, airing throughout the New York, New Jersey metro area and around the world on the iHeartRadio Network. Thank you again for all the listeners. Nielsen ratings have us number 3 in the top 10 New York AM radio, and that is a big deal. That is because of the great guests that we feature every week. Recently, we had the president and CEO of Dale Carnegie. A very big treat to have him on, and we have a lot to cover tonight, so we're going to get straight to Mark. But before we do, just a couple of thank yous. Thank you to the great team at BLMG that makes it happen every week, and to Darren, Peter, and Robert out at 710 WOR show. Now, Mark Bodner, Moish, I'm going to turn to you with a comment you mentioned to me earlier today. We're here at this event, Scaling to Freedom. Again, this is going to be broadcast this Sunday night. If we have time, we're going to try to get to questions from the audience. That the audience has a lot of questions from Mark Bodner. Mark, you had mentioned an observation, and you said, I'm so impressed that Isaac and his team was able to attract people that took out time. We know how hard it is to get away from the daily grind from in the office and to see beyond, right? Beyond, we'll say the vernacular here, the Dalai of what they face every single day. What type of vision does that take? How impressed are you? I mean, you share that with me, and maybe you could just share another word or two on that.
Well, for people to understand that taking time away from what they're doing every day in order for change to occur. You know, they say that if you don't change anything, nothing changes. So for you to come here today as entrepreneurs, and I've spoken to many of you individually, and there are some brilliant entrepreneurial minds in this room, and have that understanding that let me get some time away, invest my time. I call them investing tears: time, energy, attention, and resources. So you invest your tears, your time, your energy. Now you have to give your attention and resources. It costs money to come here. I think it costs money.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. I didn't get my bill yet, so I don't know. But that being said, that means that, you know, you understand that in order to grow, you need to invest. And investment just doesn't mean dollars and cents. It means, you know, time as well. So it's impressive to see, you know, this event came about really quickly and how many people were attracted to it. So I'm impressed by that.
Amazing. There were a lot of questions that were prepared in advance of this interview, and they're very tachlis oriented. So number one, how does one go about balancing, you know, work-life balance is one of those terms that's tossed around. Everyone dreams about it. Blianar, you running a company with 1,500 employees, tremendous amount of responsibility, and yet at the same time, Baruch Hashem, making a chasana, you learn every day, kveyasitim. What's your tips to managing that work-life balance?
For me today, it's about scale, but I've always had the same mindset. Whether it was 10 employees, 20 employees, 50, 100, as it grew. And as I took on the leadership role, now it's almost 20 years, I always looked at it as if I had 3 or 4 or 5 employees. And what do I mean by that? So there are people who report directly to me in whatever role I was, right? So I've been in the leadership role for about 20 years. So I have a CFO, and I have a VP of operations, and I have someone in charge of HR, and et cetera, et cetera. You know, those are the people that report to me. So I really have 5 employees, and that's really my mindset. I have 5 employees who are empowered to then run their businesses. In order to really do that and do it successfully, there has to be, and I think Isaac was talking about it in the earlier, is metrics, measurements, call them KPIs. Looking at that at 30,000 feet or 20,000 feet or 10,000 feet, those indicators inside of your business should be telling you where you need to focus your attention. If I have to drill all the way down to ground zero, I have a problem. So I'm really reliant. I rather use the word empower the 4 or 5 people that report directly to me to manage their businesses, have responsibilities, whether it's P&L responsibilities, productivity responsibilities, to run their businesses. And guess what happens then? They empower their next in line. And ultimately, that's how you build it out. Because when it gets to a point of, if you're 5 people and you go to 10, okay, the connections didn't double. I was never good at math in school, but from going from 5 people that report to you to 10, those connections don't become just 10 connections. They actually are 500 connections or more. And that just becomes untenable. You can't keep your hands on it. And as you try, you're like someone drowning in the ocean, just grabbing for things, and can't lead that way. So really focus on the people that are reporting and empower.
Wow. So you really took away a part of the answer of my next question, and that is scaling from 11 to 1,500 people. And what Isaac really brings to the table, and what he expects from this from this podcast, from this broadcast tonight, is solid takeaways. What you just shared is such an important takeaway, because there are people in the room that have a business of one and a business of many. They may have 25, 50 employees. You gave a solid takeaway that is focus. In fact, I'm going to ask even now, you have 5 direct reports. Is there a type of formula? We know that Yisrael gave that guidance to Moshe Rabbeinu, right? Is there a formula that you have in terms of how many direct reports represent how many direct reports under them to the entire team?
My goal is to have 0 direct reports, just to be clear. I don't want any. So I want to be absolutely crystal clear. I almost said but. Okay. Someone in this room would have caught me. And there is no real formula. I look at the business, right? There are pillars. So think of it as every house has a foundation, right? So you need to have a strong foundation. Let's call me the foundation. Then I have pillars. 2, 3, 4, 5 pillars that hold up the roof. And the roof is really the rest of the business. So every business is different. In my business, one of those pillars is sales. One of those pillars is finance. One of those pillars is operations. It's a very heavy pillar. One of those pillars is category development, procurement. So those things, the leaders of those particular pillars of the business report directly into me, and then there's a whole slew of people around that. You see, we take sales, for example. So sales has multiple components to it. There's front-facing customer sales. there's sales operations, like how do we do all the things that the customers need us to do for them that we call backstage processes that doesn't involve sales, but involves file management for customers, pricing, getting bids done, right? That's the administrative part of sales. And in our case, we have merchandisers, hundreds and hundreds of merchandisers. That's retail sales operations, but that all reports under sales. So those three pillars in the sales house, he's the foundation there. He then has those pillars to hold up his roof. So it's almost like building a community. How do you build a community? You got to have, you know, you got to have a strong foundation. You got to have strong pillars. Then you got to have something to hold up the roof. But each one of these separate silos, if you would, have that. I'll also add, and this is not because of anything that Isaac does. I have a personal business coach for almost 15 years, especially if you're in a small business. 15 years ago, I was 20% of the size that I am today, both in employees, revenue, profits, etc. Much smaller business. And I got myself a coach then. He's still my coach 15 years later. It's invaluable because the seat at the top is the loneliest seat in the company. Who do you talk to when you had a bad day? If you're running your business, whether you believe it or not, whether you want it or not, you're a billboard. You can't have a bad day. You're not allowed to. You're not allowed to lose your temper. You're not allowed to walk around your office with a sad face because everyone is watching your behavior. So sometimes don't leave your office if you're going to. It's my trick. Sometimes I'm just really busy. I just don't leave. I just lock the door and I stay there. I have a nice refrigerator. I have a bar, but that's a whole other conversation.
That's for a really tough day.
But the answer to the question is you have to have a coach. I don't know of a successful entrepreneurial business that has grown that has not had a coach involved that has nothing to do, whether it's Isaac or someone else. I'm going to put that in there. Isaac's probably not going to be happy with me, but I happen to like Isaac a lot, and he may be the right person for you. And if he is, step into it. Make that investment in you. You're investing in yourself. So invest in yourself. I've invested in myself. You know, many of the things that I've done, going to different coaching programs, getting different coaching, learning techniques. Invest in yourself is probably the strongest piece of advice in order to scale.
And it's such an important point that Mark is sharing because, and I'm just going to bring up a word, and that is vulnerability. You know, many CEOs, people that started their own business, they brought so much passion to the table. And they're like, someone's really going to teach me a thing or two. I know my business best. So what, I mean, you shared it, but just perhaps you could still hold on to that. Why is it so important for a person to really be realistic with themselves and afford themselves the opportunity to speak with others, to speak with an individual that could see outside and could really help them grow?
Well, it's not just, well, first of all, we talked about it earlier today, right? In life, there are winners and? Winners and?
Who else wants to jump in with that?
Winners and, you know, losers.
We don't say losers.
So there, in life, yes, there are winner and losers. I don't believe in participation trophies. Right. Okay, you either won the account or you lost the account, right? Right. Let's call it. But how do you convert losing into something positive? Right. We talked about it this morning. You take the loss or the bad experience and convert it into learning. Make the learning greater than the experience. I'm not happy with the experience, right? I didn't get the customer. I lost the employee. I lost the sale. Whatever it is. But if we don't deposit those learnings into our learning experience bank account so that I can withdraw from that account and use that learning when something like this happens again, I'm going to repeat the same mistakes over and over again. So convert, there is no losers in business. Convert it to learning by making the learning greater than the experience.
If you're installing hardwood or SPC or WPC vinyl flooring, do it with the highest quality products. PC Hardwood Floors, the hardwood flooring leader, has been supplying flooring professionals with the highest quality flooring materials for over 40 years. The knowledgeable team at PC Hardwood Floors will ensure that your materials will arrive at your job site by our own fleet trucks, hassle-free. With 7 locations in New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut, and next-day delivery, PC Hardwood Floors is the tri-state area's preferred full-service hardwood flooring distributor. Call 866-369-3232 to find out how PC Hardwood Floors can help you find the right hardwood products and finishing supplies for all your flooring projects. For a free consultation, call 866-369-3232. That's 866-369-3232. Or visit us at pchardwoodfloors.com. That's pchardwoodfloors.com.
Paraflight, luxurious and private, our network of jets and helicopters provide stress-free corporate flights for discerning business owners and executives. Experience the Paraflight difference as we fly you from anywhere to anywhere, anytime. Call 844-538-1911. Jet and Helicopter Charters, 24/6 Dispatch Center, domestic and international, urgent flights, concierge service, ground transportation, gourmet kosher catering. Paraflight, we focus on your flights, you focus on your business. Call Sim Shane and the Paraflight team, toll free at 844-538-1911. Paraflight, 844-538-1911. Experience the Paraflight difference, 844-538-1911.
This is Richard Solomon. If you're having a corporate event or a seminar or workshop and you're looking for a public speaker that's just a little bit different, why don't you give me a try? 516-371-4924. I'm a radio host. I'm a lawyer. I'm an author. I've been a lecturer. I've got a lot of really great war stories. And if you want to learn more, go to thesolomonchannel.com and you'll see all the great videos and everything that we've done over the years. We've done a lot of great stuff, including cash flow dynamics, things about small business, dealing with regulation, and surviving the challenges in this very tough and competitive business environment. 516-371-4924. 516-371-4924.
This show is broadcast at the Scaling to Freedom event that took place this past week at the Hyatt here in Fort Lee, New Jersey. Treated to many dozens of attendees from all different types of businesses and backgrounds. Mark, let's talk about hiring, the very delicate nature. It was touched on earlier today, and it's so critical. Talent you have character versus capabilities. We'll frame it that way. Let's say, and again, we're going to touch on a very delicate question. You have two people in front of you. One has fantastic character, but their capabilities are low. The other has, you could just pick it up. Their character is weak, but they're very talented. What do you do?
It's not negotiable. I will not negotiate character. I will not trade. I will not have a bad character. Because ultimately it comes down to what we talked about earlier is trust. So if you have someone that you can't trust or even question whether you can trust, how could you have a relationship, right? In any transaction, right? If you don't trust the person that you're transacting with, how do you go to the next step? How do you believe anything that they're saying? I've had really difficult decisions to make along the way where I had high performers, really, really high performers who had really bad character. And I made those tough decisions, I'll say 9 out of 10 times to move on. And usually, you're a very high performer. You're a great person. this is just not the place for you. And how do we help you find a place where you can be happy? Because clearly they're not going to be happy. You're not going to be happy. It's time to move on.
Next question has to do with, and again, we're here in a room at the Scaling to Freedom event, Isaac Bartos. Employees that are underachieving, whether it's an attitude issue, whether it's, you know, they're just not showing up with their A game. What steps does the CEO have to take?
So just understand that most of your employee base are going to be good people. They're going to do their job. They're going to come to work on time. They're going to do what they're supposed to do, more or less, and then go home. How there are employees that want to be great, that can be great. Look at yourself first. Are you allowing, and I'm not addressing your question exactly, and I will in a moment, but I want to get this point across. Look at yourself. Am I giving people permission to be great? Are you giving people who work for you permission to be great? What does that mean? We all want people, we say it because it's a fancy buzzword, we want people to challenge the status quo. We don't like the way things are, right? You see something, a better way, come on up and give us a better way to do it. Really? Are you really giving people a platform to say that you, who've been doing this for 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 years, and it's been doing the same way, and sales are good, and profits are good, and someone's going to come up and say, I think I have a better way to do something. Are you giving, do you give people that permission? Because that's what separates good from great. If you want people to be great, give them permission. Actually, tell them. Be verbal about it. Give them permission to challenge the status quo. Very few people will, but you're going to find your superstars by giving them that type of permission. In terms of people who are just not making the cut and they're not producing what they need to be producing, assuming for a second that the culture of the business is a good culture, and they're being treated well. Let's make that assumption. Number two, whatever position they're in, they're being paid the right wage, and we're not living in the land of make-believe, which we talked about earlier. I'll make believe I pay you, make believe you work. So they're being paid properly. If they can't make the cut, and it happens, you're so much better off to move on. Just move on. They'll be happier. Believe me, everybody wants to be successful. I was telling someone outside in the hall earlier, I believe from the depths of my heart that every single person comes to work every single day wanting to do a great job. No one wakes up in the morning and says, you know what? I think today I'm really just going to do a lousy job. I'm just going to show up and just find ways to do nothing. People want to be fulfilled. We talk today as leaders, we have to make decisions. Another word for making a decision is having a big vision. So when you make a decision, I'll use this analogy, I used it before with some people, right? I make a decision that I want to lose 50 pounds. Okay, great decision. It's good for my health. My wife will probably be happier. Good decision. I want to lose 50 pounds. Next day, I go out for lunch and I have 3 slices of pizza, a double fudge sundae, and a Coke. Bad choice. Great decision. Bad choice. Not a good choice. Your employees are, most of them are not decision makers. They're looking at your decision. They're choice makers. You want your employees to become great choice makers. Your job is to give them those tools to make great choices. If they can't make great choices and they can't make good choices because they don't have the ability, because they are coming to the office every day, again, assuming it's a good environment, it's a good culture, the pay is fair, and they just can't get it done and you've tried, you move on.
Mark, my guest is Mark Bodner, CEO of L&R Distributors, and this show was recorded at the Scaling to Freedom event in Fort Leet, New Jersey. Mark, you have among your sayings and your concepts, running to or running from. I'm not sure if it's going to or going from, because you touched on it in terms of staffing. If someone has a star employee and they're giving notice, could you please explain is it running to, running from, or going to, going from? But
freedom from.
Could you please explain that? And this is very important, especially in small businesses where you're attracting top talent.
So here's how I look at talent. If I have an employee that is just absolutely amazing, and you know, people recognize talent. They go out, and today, especially in today's world, LinkedIn, and there's so many ways to see what other opportunities are out there. Headhunters calling, etc. If they find a position that is a really great position for them, and you don't have that position for them, forget about the pay for a second. Okay, because solving it with pay is probably not going to be a long-term solution. They're a manager and they're going to get a director role. They're a director and they're getting a VP role. And you just don't have that opportunity for them. The way I go about that is I celebrate that with them. I say, congratulations. I don't have that opportunity. I wish I did. I celebrate that with them. I'll make them a goodbye party and let them go. Because holding them back is not going to do them any good long term or you any good. If I have an employee that's a superstar, really good, even very good, and they're making a lateral move, they're not leaving. I won't let. Because that's a reflection on me. When I say me, it's a reflection on my business. That's something wrong with my culture. Why would someone leave the place? It's a good culture. It's fair pay. Why are you making a lateral move? That's a bad decision for you, not for me. It's a bad decision for you. And let's talk about it. And then you'll learn so much about, yeah, but do you know that this goes on? I thought we had a great culture. I thought everything is wonderful. Yeah, but this one stabs this one in the back, and this one, I just can't take it here anymore. I learned so much by having that conversation with that person. And many times we'll convince them to stay, and many times they'll still leave. More times than not, in a very short period of time, they'll be asking to come back. So again, lateral moves, don't love it. I will not try not to allow it to happen. If someone has a better position that you can't give, don't try to convince them to stay. Long term, it's not going to be good for you. Not going to be good for them, certainly. So you're trying to help yourself by holding them back. It's not a good plan. So let them go and wish them well on the way out.
Here's a interesting one. Especially goes back that you had taught me about Colby many years ago. Let's talk about assessment tools. Now, assessment tools come in different sizes and shapes and forms, right? They have to do with not necessarily personality, or you can't tell talent, etc. But what is your take on that, especially when people are making a move? We understand hiring is perhaps the most strategic and critical move any business will make. More than the vendors, easier to replace a vendor than it is an employee, et cetera. And the cost that we know, the stats for hiring a bad employee are, depending on the type of position, could be $100,000 plus, just in terms of soft costs, hard costs. The question now is, are there any assessment tools that you would recommend, or just a concept in general?
Yeah, so I am a big believer in assessment tools. And just to be clear, we don't call them tests. I think a tool index. We're not looking for tools that test how smart people are. We're looking for tools that will help you as an employer or someone hiring people to understand what that person's modus operandi, what makes them tick. It's important because you have people that ask a lot of questions, right? And people find, myself included, I find people who ask me a lot of questions to be quite annoying. I don't need a lot. I don't like to ask a lot. I like to ask a few questions and then go. But there are people that, if we're talking about like Colby as an index, that people are long on fact-finding. They can't get into motion until they ask every question that's on their mind. And if that's, if they're great employees, you have to give them that space. You have to know that they're going to, when you tell them to do something, they're not just going to turn around and go do it. They're going to ask, did you think about this? How does that work? And they're going to ask you many questions, taking from a lot of experience here, that annoy me to no end. Stop asking me all these questions. But I know, since I have their index, what makes them tick, how they were created internally, that they have to ask a lot of questions. I have to give them that space. There are others that I know that are bigger risk takers, right? So if you're hiring for a finance person and they come back very short on fact finding, don't need a lot of facts, very high risk taker, they love risk, they can't get enough of it, you know, short on follow through, right? Don't really, probably you don't want them to be your accountant. Salesperson, that sounds like a great profile for a salesperson. In motion quickly, high risk tolerance, don't need a lot of things. So these indexes really work. Colby is one of them. We started using one called PRINT, P-R-I-N-T. You can get certified in these tools. Not very expensive to get certified. They really, really work, and they help the communication between employee-employer, employee-employee, if people understand. And like, it's a well-known fact. My CFO calls, has coined a term. I don't know if I've even told this to you yet. You know, the four stages of Mark's morning, not morning as an M-O-R, as M-O-U-R-I-N-G. Like, and he just understands because we've shared our prints and he knows what triggers me. I know what triggers him. So he'll walk into my office sometimes and say, Mark, I'm probably going to trigger you with this. Because I don't like the details. I don't like bad news. All this stuff comes out through these indexes. But sometimes, you know, guess what? We're grown-ups. We got to take it anyway. But at least he knows that it's probably going to trigger me. And I'm going to hit him with, yeah, that can't be. Let's go look at the facts. And he knows that the next four things coming.
Paraflight, luxurious and private, our network of jets and helicopters provide stress-free corporate flights for discerning business owners and executives. Experience the Paraflight difference as we fly you from anywhere to anywhere, anytime. Call 844-538-1911, Jet and Helicopter Charters, 24/6 Dispatch Center, domestic and international, urgent flights, concierge service, ground transportation, gourmet kosher catering. Paraflight, we focus on your flights, you focus on your business. Call Sim Shane and the Paraflight team, toll free at 844-538-1911. Paraflight, 844-538-1911. Experience the Paraflight difference, 844-538-1911.
This is Richard Solomon. If you're having a corporate event or a seminar or workshop and you're looking for a public speaker that's just a little bit different, why don't you give me a try? 516-371-4924. I'm a radio host. I'm a lawyer. I'm an author. I've been a lecturer. I've got a lot of really great war stories. And if you want to learn more, go to thesolomonchannel.com and you'll see all the great videos and everything that we've done over the years. We've done a lot of great stuff, including cash flow dynamics, things about small business, dealing with regulation, and surviving the challenges in this very tough and competitive business environment. 516-371-4924. 516-371-4924.
Powerful people, famous names, impactful content.
Leaders who are able to engage their teams more effectively, who are demonstrating a level of understanding and empathy. It doesn't mean we're not going to hold people accountable. We have to hold people accountable for results. And at the same time, there's a great quote, which is, I don't care what you know until I know that you care.
The clip you just heard is from the CEO of Dale Carnegie, Joe Hart. For more fantastic business advice, follow us on Instagram at Business Class Clips.
We're recording a Mind Your Business show that is going to air on 710 WOR this coming Sunday night. We're recording it live at the Scaling to Freedom event featuring, brought to you by Isaac Bartos. Isaac walked into the room. Let's give him a big hand. Isaac, we're going to hand you the mic, but one more key question that I have for Mark, and that is regarding corporate culture. How important is it for, starting with the CEO, to build and maintain a real corporate culture and one that sticks and one that the people buy in, as opposed to just saying, show up to work, do your thing, and end the day, goodbye?
Enron, does that mean anything to anyone in the room? Enron? Okay, so Enron had a very strong corporate culture. It was chiseled onto a piece of bedrock in the lobby of their corporate headquarters, 50-story tall building, as they were being let out in handcuffs. There's actually a picture that you can find on the internet somewhere where the Enron executive is being walked out, and behind them is their core principles chiseled into a stone. So what is culture? I think that's the first question. Culture is not like a piece of software. You can't download it, install it, and there it is. Culture takes hard work, years and years and years to build. And quite frankly, I don't know why I'm giving you so many props, Isaac. That's where coaches really come in and help. Not only do they help you with your business process, they will help you build a proper culture for your business. People leave jobs more often because of their boss than for any other reason. So if you have a culture that allows people who manage other people, or I hate using the word managers, if you have a leader in your business that is allowed to lead people through bad culture, I won't use the word abuse, I won't use the word just bad culture, then that's not culture. That's not going to be sticky. So culture is something that you have to develop, that you get to develop, your choice. But if you choose to put the time and effort, choose to put your tears, because it takes all those four things, time, energy, attention, and resources, to develop a culture in the business, that will be a reflection. That's why I said, when someone's leaving for a lateral position, I look at myself. Why would they be leaving? And what you'll find out, what I thought was a good culture, right? We preach it. We have the videos. We go through it. We have contests. We have T-shirts. We do all kinds of stuff. I'm sitting here with the guy and his team who help my business manage our culture. They do a masterful job working with us. But, you know, sometimes it's hard. And you find out, yeah, but this one person there, right, generally that a lateral position or a lateral move, the person is leaving because of a bad culture, which is really a bad boss. They're not leaving the job because of money. They're leaving because of it. So culture is so important. And it's kind of like vision. You're never there. It never ends. As soon as you think you have a great culture, something else, times change, technology changes. Right now, WhatsApp, or, you know, 10 years ago, we didn't have WhatsApp to worry about. What was the BlackBerry thing before? BlackBerry, right. Messenger was cool, whatever. You had that, right? That was a halbitzer. Now you're dealing with WhatsApp and TikTok and text messaging. I'm probably missing Instagram, whatever. You got so many distractions. How do you, culture has to change around those. We're dealing in a world now with remote work. What's your culture around that? How do we make that work for everyone? So culture is what drives success in business. Good culture will drive good success.
Yeah, we have exactly 12 minutes left to the program, and that will get everyone out in time for dinner. Let's hear a good hand for a good dinner. We will get you out on time for dinner. I want to hand it over to Isaac. Again, to find out more information about these type of events, isaacbartos.com, isaacbartos.com. Isaac, take it away.
So I'll just add a thought about, for a small business owner of a few or a few dozen, how do you create a culture, maybe from the ground up, especially if you haven't really thought about culture? And so what I would say is, if you're a key decision maker or leader in the business and culture is important to you, then look around outside of your specific business, maybe in your community or maybe in the people that you'd like to spend time with. Maybe, let's say, if you're religious, let's say you go to a synagogue. If you go to a synagogue and there's a culture in that synagogue, and you probably chose that place because there is a sense of culture there. There's something that you like. There's an experience that you like. There's a feeling that is, again, something that no one wrote down officially, but it's the experience, the feeling, the camaraderie, the sense of community, connection that you feel there. That's the culture. And you chose that because you like that. Ask yourself, what are the elements about this that I like? What are the elements? So what are some of the details that I like? What are some experiences that I like? What are the things that keep me back, going back every single week, or keep me going back on a regular basis? Right? I have someone who goes to a very famous country club, and every so often I go too, and I really enjoy the culture in that experience. Right? And then when I think about what are the specifics, I think about the experience of the service. There's a level of relaxation. I love the scenery. And so I think to myself, well, if I'm going to create a culture in my own work or my company or my own events, what are the things that I enjoy about that experience that I can bring to my work, that I can bring to my company? Oh, the scenery. Okay, so I want to have things that have a certain scenery. I want to have things that have a certain experience in terms of the people that are working in that place. So I want to be careful about who I hire, because those are the people that are going to bring that kind of energy to the people that would interact with our company. In your company, ask yourself, have I worked in jobs before that I really liked? What did I really like about them? Have I worked in places I didn't like? I remember that when I was 14, I worked in 3 different restaurants. I'd bike to work 5 days a week. And one place was a bagel store. I could not stand working for that bagel store. But another night, I worked at a pizza shop, and I loved working at the pizza shop. They were on the same street. Like, 14 years old, getting minimum wage, if that. Why is it that I enjoyed one and the other? And by the way, no one really thinks about corporate culture or building a culture based around a bagel shop or pizza store, but they both have a culture. And so when I started thinking about my own business and thinking about other people, how to build that culture, what I looked at was, what were the things that I enjoyed, even from the most basic experiences, like working in a bagel store as a teenager? What did I love? What did I really not love? And I said, the things that I don't love. So for example, one thing I really didn't love was, it was very clear I was there because they needed someone to bake their bagels. And how replaceable do I feel? Immediately replaceable. That's a culture. As soon as you're out, I'll find someone else for you. Well, I just felt like, well, then I should probably leave now, because otherwise you're going to do it for me. Right? That's a culture where someone wants to leave before you make them leave. When I worked at the pizza place, I felt like they're like, hey, try this. Try to do this thing, which is cashier. Try to also bake the pizzas. Try to also learn about receiving. Try to make sure that the balance sheet, you know, is all printed out clearly and delivered to this desk, you know, each night. So I didn't understand all the things I was doing, but I felt like what I was doing was important. So even at the most basic level, culture could just be that people feel that they're given more opportunities and the things that they're doing are actually valued. They're important. They make a difference. And they want to give you more things. They want to upgrade you. They want to give you opportunity for growth and progress. And they want to train you in more opportunities. So the culture could be something that basic. It could be something like the experience that you want, that you choose to enjoy when you go somewhere on the weekend. And so on just the most basic level, it's, what's the experience, the feeling, the emotion, if someone were to walk in and say, hey, how was that experience for you when you walked into the store? Any of you, when you walk into another company, when you interact with another business, ask yourself, what's the feeling that I get when I work there? You'll get a sense for the culture or the lack thereof. And whatever you like, bring. Whatever you don't like, say, what is it specifically I don't like? And what if I were to change that? What would it look like? If I were to change the things I didn't like about the bagel store, what would it look like? And then say, okay, how could I bring that to my business? These are literally the questions to ask to build a culture, whether you're a company of one or a few or a few dozen. And so many times small businesses think, what are we going to get, a gym plan for our you know, personal training, yoga classes? Well, what is it? What is a culture? How are we going to do that? We're a company of 50, a company of 5. And the answer is, you can create that culture, because if you have connections with a friend, if you have a relationship with a friend or a few friends, that when the guys get together, the ladies get together, you have a feeling, there's an energy in the room, that's a culture. in your home, you have a family that there's a culture in your family. That culture of a family of five can apply to a business of five. It might be different, obviously, because the dynamic is different. It still has to be professional. But there are elements of it that can be translated because the culture is about the people. And any place that you're interacting with people that has an element of a culture, you can bring to the place of people that doesn't have that element of culture yet, like your business.
We have 6 minutes left to the show. Any particular questions you want to ask, Mark? I have an important question that I believe really applies. Okay. This is a tough one, and this goes back to your early days, Mark. A company is growing. There's not that much money in the bank. They know that they need to build a team in order to scale, but they don't got the money in the bank. What are some of the parameters that a person, like, I got to make the move? This is real. I'm talking real world stuff. And I understand each circumstance is unique, but perhaps you could share some guidance on this.
You know, it's interesting because we all come to that proverbial cliff. Even today, we come to that cliff. And we've got the parachute on our backs, and we got the string. Do we believe that we jump off that cliff and I yank that thing, the parachute's going to open up? It's called risk. Risk is something that it's, you know, I saw a great saying once, if you can't stand risk, get the out of business. It just is. Don't quote me on that one, please. But that's, you can quote me, that's fine. But, you know, so I could tell you growing up in this business that I'm in, so many times I came to that cliff. Now, be smart about it. You know, don't just, I'm not saying caution to the wind, I'm jumping without the parachute on my back. Make sure you got the knapsack on that's got the parachute in it. You got a plan. You understand. You have a, you know, if you're going to make that hire, before you do it, know exactly what you want that person to do. Make sure there's a job description. Ask yourself the question, what does success look like? Right? How long am I going to let it go? Right? Have a timeline. I'm going to give this 3 months, 6 months. Stick to that. Have an exit strategy. It's okay to fail. Fail fast. It's okay to fail. But, you know, growth takes risk. But do it smart. Make sure you have a plan. And, you know, plan to fail. Plan what failure is going to look like as well, not just success. So that when you jump off, you have the knapsack, you've got the parachute in it, you've got the cord, you yank it and the parachute will open up and you'll land somewhat softly, maybe not so softly. And, you know, it costs money, but you just, you know, that's why we do what we do. I'm not in this room speaking. If I was in this room today speaking to employees, people who don't understand the concept of risk, different conversation. But people who are in business are made that decision to go into business, and business is risky. Isaac Bardos made a decision to make a show, originally in Florida, now in New Jersey, in Fort Lee, New Jersey. 2 weeks ago, I don't know how many people he had. We were talking back and forth as we were having this, and I show up today, and all of you are here. Took a risk.
We still have a few short minutes left, and I just have to get in something I believe you touched on today, and I've heard from you many times. It's a concept that any time we discuss it here on the show, we get tremendous feedback, and it's really a key last-minute takeaway. And again, we're recording here at the Scaling to Freedom event. To find out more information, isaacbardos.com, isaacbardos.com. This is the last question of the show, but it has to do with sales. Sales is the lifeblood of any business. Interested versus interesting. I'll let you take it away.
It's a great point, and it's something that, wow, I wish I knew it. I wish I knew this concept 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago. Now, we used to go in with a sales deck like many of us do. And we, in my case, I'm in the distribution business, and we'd show pictures of our warehouse inside, outside, our trucks, all this, how we do things. First 10 pages all about me, right? Being very interesting about myself. Guess what? They don't care. I say now, duh, you're a distributor. Duh, fill in the blank of what your business is. They don't care. What they're looking for is, tell me how you're going to help me, right? I'm looking for an easy, everyone today is looking for an easy button, right? I think they sell them in Staples, right? Easy button. They're looking for an easy button. Learn everything you can about that client before you walk in there. Learn their pain points. Visit, if it's a store, visit the store. If it's a service that you're providing, understand what that service is. Find the pain point. Find the difficulty that they're trying to solve. Walk in there saying, hey, I was doing some research on your company and I learned X, Y, and Z. I learned this, this, and this about your business. And I've had other clients that faced the same challenge. Would you be interested in learning on how I helped solve these other clients solve very similar problems to yours? Usually the answer is yes. And then eventually they will give you permission to be interesting. They'll want to know how you, what you do, right? And how you do it. And then they'll get interested about you. They'll give you permission to be interesting. And then they're actually listening to all your capabilities because you were interested in them first. Because they really care about themselves. They've got issues. They've got problems they want to solve.
So, yeah, sure.
So in terms of being interested versus interesting, if you walk into a room at the end of a networking event and you were to interview people as they're coming out of it and you were to say, who here did you enjoy speaking to the most that you want to know more about them or whatever it is that they came here to network about? Every single time, you know what you find in common? You'd find that the people who were most curious to continue a conversation with someone were not the ones who were interesting. They were the ones who were listening. They were interested. And what people say about them, they found this through research. Robert Cialdini did a lot of research or was involved in research. He writes a lot about influence. And he says that if you want to influence someone, the first step is to listen. Why? Because people think that you are a great conversationalist when you're not talking. It's true in marriage also, apparently. Right? But it's true in business because when you're listening, they go, oh, this is amazing. I personally know someone who sold a service to someone who owns billions of dollars of real estate. And the guy literally walked in. The person started talking about whatever it is that was on their mind. They literally spoke about paintings, which the guy had zero interest about paintings, but the multi-billionaire real estate mogul understood a lot about paintings. He was talking about his painting. He was giving a tour about this. And that. He was just interested. He was interested. He showed that interest. And because he was listening, that guy said, okay. And then literally 45 minutes later, he sat down. And the mogul looks at him and says, okay, how can I help you? What can we do? What are you here to sell? And literally bought whatever it was. Because he felt interested in, and therefore he had interest in the other person. Can I share a thought on the previous question? Yeah. Quickly. Okay. So risk. Risk has become a four-letter word in today's culture. Risk has become a four-letter word because people feel when they think about risk, they think of all the things they want to avoid are on the other side of that risk, not realizing that literally the other side of the thing that they're risking is also all the things that they want to feel. They're just focused on the things that they want to move away from, right? The failure. What if it doesn't go right? What if they get rejected? What if? Well, give just as much credit to the what ifs it does work out. What's the risk in you not doing it? You know, so often people are focused on the ROI. What's the return on the investment? What's the promise? What's the guarantee that this is going to, you know, to what degree is this going to be so valuable for me? And I challenge people to think about the COI. Well, what's the cost of inaction? What if you don't take that risk? Because very often that's even more of a risk. If that thing or that potential, that decision is really valuable, it's even more of a risk to not take that risk. And few people are willing to put everything online to go all in because risk has become a four-letter word. And by the way, life is risky. I once heard someone say, that there's one guarantee in life. You know what it is? You're not going to come out alive. Totally made me reconsider the whole thing about risk. So when I look at something and I'm thinking, is it risky? Is it not risky? I was like, well, I'm not going to die, so it's a good start.
This wraps up an incredible edition. We may not have gotten to Q&A, but I did get to a lot of the questions that are in your mind. As you've seen, I've been here. Thank you. Thank you. I've been here and doing a lot of listening. A big hand for Mark Bodner, Isaac Bartos. This show was recorded at the Scaling to Freedom event in mid-March of 2023, because this will go up on YouTube and people will be able to experience the incredible amount of information and advice that was shared here. This wraps up a great edition of On Your Business. Tune in every Sunday night on 710 WOR for great information that can get you ahead in today's business world. Have a successful week. Okay.
WOR and the iHeartRadio Network present Mind Your Business, hosted by the president of Bottom Line Marketing Group, Yitzhak Saflis. Founded in 1992, Bottom Line Marketing Group is a strategic, creative, and execution-driven marketing agency, helping businesses by clarifying and promoting their vision, mission, and purpose to support its lead generation and customer retention initiatives to gain market share in their industry. Mind Your Business focuses on business and marketing strategies for success. Tune in every Sunday evening at 10 p.m. for this intriguing radio show as Yitzhak interviews Fortune 500 executives, business leaders, and marketing gurus from a wide variety of business industries. Now, Yitzhak and his guests offer their knowledge and expertise to help you be successful. Every Sunday night on Mind Your Business.
Paraflight, luxurious and private, our network of jets and helicopters provide stress-free corporate flights for discerning business owners and executives. Experience the Paraflight difference as we fly you from anywhere to anywhere, anytime. Call 844-538-1911. Jet and Helicopter Charters, 24/6 Dispatch Center, domestic and international, urgent flights, concierge service, ground transportation, gourmet kosher catering. Paraflight, we focus on your flights, you focus on your business. Call Sim Shane and the Paraflight team, toll-free at 844-538-1911. Paraflight, 844-538-1911. Experience the Paraflight difference, 844-538-1911. 1911.